time, we're going to ask Roy to come up and do our scripture reading. If you have your Bibles, can you tell them where it's from? Right here, I'll lower this for you, and I'm going to get my Bible, okay? Wait, there you go, is that good?
Mm-hmm. It's from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Amen. Thank you, Roy.
Okay. Amen. So, Children's Day. This is a little unusual, but I'm going to ask Ethan to hand out to all the children. You guys are going to get one egg. Please don't open it. There will be a time when you can open it, but it's just not yet, so please bear with me. Yes, I am reusing Easter eggs, right? We got to be efficient here, but it was just Easter. We had them around, but just hang on to that, and it will be important later, so you'll see why. The passage is short today. If you do have your Bibles, I encourage you to keep them open and always look at your Bibles with me as we look together at what these verses teach us about God and about ourselves. So these verses that we just read, that Roy just wonderfully read for us, are from the book of Ephesians. And that's a letter that Paul wrote to a church in a city called Ephesus, far, far away and long ago. But this letter, this book, is about the church, what the church is and what the church should be like. And this chapter, the second chapter of this letter, is really about your identity. So the question that these verses are trying to answer is, who are you? So, Charis, who are you? You're Charis, yeah. What's your name? Charis Chang. So who gave you that name? Yeah, your parents gave you your name, right? It's appropriate for Children's Day because you get your identity, you get your name, you get who you are, at least at first, primarily from your parents. Your identity is mostly that you are a child of whoever your mom and dad are. That's who you are when you're young. Yeah, okay, I also go to school here, so maybe I'm a student, I go to Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so's class, but your primary identity is, no, I'm a child. I belong to this family. This is my last name, same as my parents, same as my brothers and sisters. Your identity comes from your family. Well, if you pay attention carefully, this chapter is actually talking about us as children. Paul calls all of us, all Christians, all of the church people that he's writing this letter to, he calls them children. And to that, all God's people can say amen, right? We are all children of God, whether we are 2 years old or 200 years old. We are all children of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Except that's not true at the beginning of this chapter. This chapter does indeed call us children, but it starts off, we didn't read from verse 1, we started in verse 8, but if you go all the way back to verse 1 of this chapter, it actually starts off with God being angry with sinners. We are called in the opening verses of this chapter children of wrath. We are called sons, but not sons of God. We're called sons of disobedience. That's bad news. Imagine if the Apostle Paul wrote a letter to KAC. He sends it in the mail. It shows up in our post box out there. We open it up, and it says, "Hi, this is Paul. I'm just writing because I wanted to remind you, everyone that goes to KAC, that none of you came into this world as Christians. None of you were born as a saved person and child of God. Every single one of you, whether you've been raised in this church all of your life, which I think is true for all of the young people sitting in front of us, right? Most of you have been here for a long, long time, probably as long as you can remember. But it doesn't matter whether you came to this church yesterday or whether you've been here all your life. You were all born spiritually dead. The fact that you were born to your parents is no good when it comes to the Lord. Everybody's born once. And that's why we need to be born again. Right? John 3 says you must be born a second time. First one's no good. You need a second birth in order to be a Christian. You can be born physically and made physically alive because of what your parents do, but in order to be spiritually alive and a child of God, something else separate from that has to happen, which we call being born again. And so, I mean, we are a church, right? We're all sitting here in this church building. It says church on the outside. Paul wrote this letter to a church, right? The church in Ephesus. So why is he calling all of these people who we would assume are believers, are Christians, why is he telling them that they didn't start off that way? Why is he starting off with this bad news? I asked you before, just a minute ago, if you're children of God, and we all said amen. Every one of you said yes. Okay, so if you are now a child of God, but Paul is saying when you were born, you weren't a child of God, how'd that happen? What happened to make you go from, if your identity comes from your family, how did you go from belonging to some other family to being a part of the family of God? How did you become a child of God? Paul is going to tell us about how that happens. And it's so, so, so important. We said your identity right now is mostly from your family. Did you pick your family? Karis, did you go to the parent store and pick out your parents? No, you definitely didn't get to choose your parents. Everybody didn't get to choose their parents. That's exactly right. Did your parents pick you? Did they go to the baby store and say, I want that one? Or I'll have, you know, maybe teacher Sandra said, I'll have two of those, right? Because they have twins. Double scoop. So if our parents don't pick us, if we don't pick our parents, then how do we go from being children of wrath to children of God? How do you become a Christian? Does anybody know? How do you become a Christian? What do you have to do to be a Christian? There's one thing. What is it?
Go to church.
No, not go to church. Good guess. Yeah, Roy. You got to believe. You got to have faith. You got to believe that Jesus did what he said he was going to do to save us, and you've got to trust in him. So is that something that you do? You have faith? You put your trust in Jesus like we just sang, I will put my trust? Is that something that you do, Roy? Yeah, absolutely, in a sense it is, right? You have to put your trust in Jesus. You have to believe. That's something that you do. You can have faith or not have faith. You can believe or not believe. That's something that you do. But also, Paul is trying to show us here in these couple of verses that it's something that God did first. The Bible says over and over and over again that God did what your parents can't do. He chose you. Do you realize? Is that kind of cool that God gets to choose his children? God gets to pick who his children are or aren't. You know, I didn't get to pick my kids, right? I'm stuck with the ones I got. I think it's past the return window, so I'll have to keep them. I think sometimes parents wish we could choose our kids, right? We want our kids to be the smartest and the best looking and an athlete and a musician and straight A's. Is that how it is with God? Does God choose us because we're the best looking or the smartest or we get really good grades or we go to church a lot or we're really good at basketball? Is that why God chooses us to be his children? No. Good. That's the right answer. So now we're finally down to our verses here in verse 8, which Roy read for us. God didn't choose you because you're smart. If he didn't choose you because you're beautiful, if he didn't choose you because you're good and you do good things, why did he choose you? Verse 8 says that God chose you because God is good. God chose you because he is so amazing and good that he just chose you. Verse 8 starts off, by grace you are saved. That's a big Bible word, but what does it mean? It means that God loves people that don't deserve it. Grace means you get something when you deserve the opposite. You did something bad, and instead of getting punished, instead of getting in trouble, you get a reward. You get a treat. You get something that you didn't deserve. That's how God saves us, by grace. God loves us when we didn't deserve for God to love us. God chooses us when we didn't deserve for God to choose us. The Bible actually says that God loved us when we hated him, when we were his enemies. The Bible says that God chooses not smart people, he chooses foolish people. Verse 5, it's not one that we read, but here in this chapter, it says that God chose us when we were dead. Now, you can't choose your parents, you can't choose your children, but maybe you could choose a pet, right? You could go to the pet store and choose a new puppy to take home. How many of you want to bring home a dead puppy? Right? That's really dark, but right? But the Bible says God chose us when we were spiritually dead, when we were not yet alive. God chose us. God is so amazingly good that for some reason he reaches down into this world that is so full of darkness and brokenness, and he plucks some of us out of our sin and disobedience, all the while you were saying, no, God, I hate you, I want nothing to do with us. And because he has so much love, he made us alive. Paul says, if you are a Christian, you need to know, doesn't matter how old or young you are, you need to know that you used to be dead and God made you alive. It's not because you were amazing or hot stuff or anything at all in you, but it's 100% because of him. God is good, and therefore he loves and chooses you. By grace you have been saved, not by works. That's what the verse says. That means not by works means you didn't do what? Works. What's a work? A job? Okay, so you didn't do a job for it. A work is anything that you do. You didn't do anything to become a Christian. You didn't do anything to make God love you. Okay, now is the time to go ahead and open your eggs. All right. Now some of you got a Hershey Kiss in there, right? You got chocolate? What did some of the rest of you get? You got aluminum foil, all right. Now, is that fair?
No.
That's not fair? Okay, well, let me ask you this. Did you earn that egg? Did you do anything to deserve an egg this morning? Yes, kind of. Did you do anything for me? Did any of you mow my lawn this week? No. Did you say something really nice to me on the way in that I was like, oh, I'm definitely going to give that kid an egg? No, you didn't. What did you have to do to get that egg this morning? Open your hand and receive it. You didn't do anything to earn. Now, don't worry. Those of you who got foil, I will give you an egg. I will remedy this later, right? Why did some of you get chocolate and some of you get foil? There is no reason. It's just, I have my reasons, right? In this case, the reason was it's random. There's more eggs in that bag and it was just handed out. I didn't actually control that part. But can any of you turn to your neighbor, if you did get chocolate, can you turn to the person next to you and say, man, I'm so much better than you because I got chocolate and you didn't? Of course not. That would be ridiculous because you didn't do anything to get the chocolate and they didn't do anything to get the aluminum foil. I think some of you might be enjoying the aluminum foil a little bit more, and maybe I'm regretting this choice of illustration, but are any of you going to leave here and brag that you were the one that got the chocolate? No, because you got chocolate by grace, not by works, so that no one can boast. You are saved. You become a Christian by grace, not by works, so that no one can boast. It's because of God's sheer mercy. It's because God just gives the gift of salvation, the gift of faith, to some undeserving sinners. None of you deserved chocolate. But God gives the gift of faith to some children of disobedience, some children of wrath. And he chooses them to be his beloved children. And we call those people Christians. That's your new name. If you've been chosen by God, that's your new family. That's your new identity. You are a Christian. You are a child of God. And that is good news. You don't have to do anything to become a Christian. You don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to go to church a lot. You don't have to obey more. You don't have to listen better, although all of those things are good. You don't have to be good in order for God to love you. You just have to sit there and receive the free gift. Because you know what? If we did have to do something, just think about how that would work for a second. If we did have to be good enough to earn God's love, to make him love us, could we ever do it? Could we ever be good enough that God would love us? If it calls us, Paul says, you're a child of wrath. That means God is angry at you. You're a child of disobedience. You're an enemy of God. You hate God. You're dead in your sins. Can you ever do anything to make God love you? No, if we had to make God love us, we never could, and that would be bad news indeed. But praise the Lord, that's not how it works. If we have to earn our way to heaven, none of us makes the cut. Nobody is good enough. But God has mercy on people who aren't good enough, so that anyone can cry out, God, have mercy on me too. And you know that he will not turn you away. We just celebrated Good Friday and Easter recently, right? You guys remember when Jesus was crucified? There were two other criminals crucified with him, right? Two other crosses there on either side of him. Do you remember what Jesus said to the man on the one cross? He said, Jesus, I know you're a holy person. Please forgive me. I'm dying because I did something wrong, but you did nothing wrong. And what does Jesus say? Today you will be with me in paradise. Now that criminal died for his sins. And where did he go? He immediately went to heaven that very minute. Jesus promised him, you will be with me today in paradise. Now imagine he goes up to the gates of heaven and they say, okay, what's your name? Hi, I'm criminal number two. Okay, well, why should we let you in here? Are you a Christian? Well, I'm not really sure. I don't actually know what a Christian is. Okay, well, did you go to church? No. Okay, well, did you pray? No, not really. Did you read your Bible? No, not so much. Did you go to Fusion House and help out with children's ministry? No, I don't know what that is either. Okay, well, what did you do? Why are you here? Well, I murdered some guys. How are you here? What did you do that you are here in heaven instead of in the other place, getting the punishment that your sins deserve? Jesus said I could come. By grace you're saved, not by works, so that no one can boast. Jesus said you can come. Jesus gives you the right to be a child of God, not because you do anything, but because he is so good. And now we get down to verse 10. Thank you for hanging in there with me. You guys did a great job paying attention, some of you. The rest of you, there's grace for you. But you know, it's very, very important. Verse 10 is really the theme verse. It's the one that ties in with our VBS. It's the one that talks about us being workmanship of God, created by him. But it's very, very important that verse 10 comes after verse 8 and 9. And it's not just because that's the way we count, right? You can't say 7, 10, 8, 9. Maybe Judah would count that way, but right? That's not good counting. But there's another reason that it's very important that verse 10 comes after verse 8 and 9. Because verse 10 talks about all the good stuff that we do as Christians. Verse 10 says, "For you were created in Christ Jesus for good works, that we would walk in them." Christians got to be good, right? Christians got to obey. Christians got to do good things, right? If you're a Christian, should you do good things? Yes. If you are a Christian, should you obey God? Yes. If you are a Christian, should you obey your parents? Yes. And verse 10 says, we don't just do those things. Verse 10 says, God isn't just our Savior, he's our Creator. He made us. You were created. You exist. You are here to be a good worker. It calls us God's workmanship. We could also translate that word, you are his work of art. You are God's masterpiece. Praise the Lord. That is your reason for living. You are here to be God's masterpiece, his beautiful work of art. But how do you get to be that? Verse 8 comes first. Then in verse 10, you're a masterpiece to do good works and not the other way around. First, you get a new family. First, you get a new father. And then you want to please your father. When you were a child of disobedience in the beginning of this chapter, yeah, you obey your father. The problem is your father is Satan. And so you will never follow God. You will never trust God. You will never love him. You will never obey. But now I want us all to imagine disappointing our fathers. You know, it's natural to throw tantrums. Adults do it too. It's not limited to kids. We want what we want, and we want it now. We think we know better than our parents. We think we know better than God. Now, have any of you ever, when you were just really upset about something, your parents didn't let you do something, have you ever said to your mom or your dad, "I don't love you"? I've heard that one. They're young. They don't really know what they're saying. They don't mean it. And imagine saying that to your father, "I don't love you." Fathers, how would you, fathers in the room, how would you respond to that? Your kid says to you, "I don't love you," because you can't watch another 45 minutes of TV, right? Priorities. But that hurts, doesn't it? Even though you know they don't mean it, it hurts. But would any of you go so far as to disown your child? "Oh, you don't love me? You're out of the family." Of course not. Are there any fathers in the room who would say, "Well, I don't love you either"? Would you ever say that back? Of course not. Why? Because you can't tantrum your way out of the family. You can't earn your way into the family, and you can't earn your way out. Once you are in, you are in, and that's it. Once you're in the church, once you're in Jesus, once his name is your name and your identity, once you are a Christian, do you know what Christian means? It means you're a little Christ. It means you're a little Jesus. You are created by God to be exactly like Jesus more and more every day. You get the family resemblance. As you grow up, you look more and more like your parents. If you were a Christian, as you grow up in Christ, if that is your identity, if you're a child of God, you will look more and more like God in holiness and the things that you do. You will look like your older brother Jesus. But when does all of that happen? Do you have to make yourself look like him so that God will choose you? Do you have to live a good life like Jesus so that he will love you? No, you're the kid sitting there throwing a tantrum saying, I don't love you. And God our Father says, well, I love you. And I want you to be my child. I want you to be part of my family. And then only after God puts his name on you, after you are a Christian, after you trust in him, then that free grace leads to works. But the order is important. Free grace first. Open your hands to receive the gift. You don't do anything. And then the good works comes later. First, be a Christian, and then act like it. Amen? Amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, you are so full of grace. You are so good and merciful that you sent your only son to die for people that hated you, so that people that hated you could become your sons and daughters. And that Jesus, your son, who died for us, is our older brother. Lord, there is nothing in us that could ever make us worthy or deserving of that. But it's because of your mercy. May that bedrock truth sink deeply down into our hearts this morning. May we get it. May we understand what it really means. That the Christian life is not about the good things that we do or even about the bad things that we do, but it is about your mercy. Help us by your grace to trust you and to receive that gift because of nothing that we've done, but because it is a free gift. And Lord, once we get that, everything else falls into place. Give us faith even this morning. If there are some here who have not yet trusted in you as their only Savior, would that gospel penetrate our hearts this morning and cause us to live for you? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.